Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the title of our podcast today is The Beast of British Columbia, Serial Killer Clifford Robert Olson. One of the Olson twins, Brandy.
I don't think so.
No. It would have been much more interesting probably if it was.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Clifford Olson was a creep. And killed a lot of young. He killed like young people. So
as opposed to killing old people or puppies or little babies or whatever, just there's a certain age group that is worse than if you kill them in.
Yeah, it's especially creepy when you kill younger folks. Don't you think so, Brandy?
Yes.
Thank you, Brandy, for that moral clarification.
I'm the moral compass of this show. Killing is wrong at any age.
We would like to remind everyone we are a comedy podcast, and occasionally we might use adult language.
Oh, and if that bothers you, then go back to fucking church and leave us alone.
If it bothers you, please check out one of the other fine podcasts out there, like Chuck.
They Walk Among Us.
Already Gone.
Already Gone.
Haunted Visions.
Haunted Visions?
Yes, there's plenty of podcasts out there that manage somehow to not swear.
Hold on. I don't swear on my other podcast.
All right, what's your podcast name?
Well, you know, I would tell people about my podcast, Ransom Reason Podcast, but, you know, it's different from this, Timmy, where you might, if you listen to it, you might actually learn something. And one thing I learned about this crew on History Dweebs,
awful full of yourself, aren't you?
They don't want to learn things.
Okay.
You want the Colonel's wisdom imparted on you? No, you don't. You don't. You can't handle the truth. These people can't.
God, Jimmy. You keep talking.
Just introduce the girl so we can get.
So
on
yeah,
the
if
show.
Adult language offends you, then probably check out one of the other fine podcasts out there. I would like to introduce our panel. I'm joined as always by the lovely and talented.
Take a damn Xanax if adult.
A Xanax.
Xanax.
Yeah, Xanax is spelled kind of weird.
It is Xanax. I don't know. Xanadu.
The Z is silent. Or the X is silent. The X is silent.
The Z is silent. and non-existent.
Let me introduce the lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy, if at all?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you today?
I am well. How was your weekend?
My weekend was okay. We stayed pretty quiet, kind of stayed close to the house because it rained a lot.
It did. We got a deluge in Kentucky.
We did. We got all that. And so we kind of stayed close to the house and nothing thrilling.
You know, we didn't have an opportunity last week to release a podcast. We apologize for that. And I wasn't going to bring this up on the air, Colonel, but Brandy, we're concerned about your drinking.
We are concerned. Now,
Brandy was on a 10-day drunk. That's
understand,
why we weren't able to podcast last week.
We are talking to you out of love, Devil.
It's coming from a place of love.
It's coming from a place of love. We're concerned about you. I can smell the vodka on your breath from here. It's not doing you any good.
It's the devil's juice.
You're drinking the devil's Kool-Aid is what you're doing.
So here's my question. Mm-hmm. If I stop drinking... If this is what it's like when I'm drinking, if I stop drinking, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, we're hoping.
What do you think is going to happen?
See, my brother, when he used to drink,
I don't give a shit about your brother. He's dead.
That's what you're being drunk is what you are.
You're being defensive, and you know, we're not judging here.
We need you to receive us.
You're
Devil.
A drunk.
Receive.
I will not.
Slush. We're not judging you for being my slush.
Yeah, we're not. We're not.
It's
drunk.
A lush.
We're whatever. Not drunk. We're not judging you for being a slut.
Jesus.
Well, I'm glad to hear you admit it.
We
Brandy.
Don't slut shame here.
She just admitted that she was a lush. But
No, the word is lush.
So are you doing anything about it, Brandy? First thing is to recognize the problem.
Admit the problem, Devil. Admit the problem.
No, I will not.
Okay, we're not going to get anywhere with her.
She can't even stop long enough, playing her game long enough to address her alcoholism.
Her life's coming unglued before us. We're trying to stop it.
First of all, none of you have the power to glue my shit back together.
See, that's the stinking thinking that leads to drinking.
What the hell?
Am I right, Colonel?
That's a good one, Timmy. Like, that's a philosophy to live by, Timmy.
Let me show you here why I drink. So Noah made some pictures for
your
me.
Son.
Yes, made some pictures for me and gave them to me this morning because he wants me to hang them in my office.
Okay.
Because he's very excited. So I'm going to show these to you.
Okay.
Let me start with this one.
Holy fuck.
Okay, that looks like
Wayne Gacy.
What's the clown's name on it?
That is who it is. It is Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah, Pennywise, okay.
That's Pennywise the Clown. Now keep in mind that my child's never seen this movie. and yet he wants me to read him the book.
First of all,
like, sure, I can do that. It's 800,000 pages long, but whatever.
So until you're 14.
Yeah. So he wants me to hang this one up.
I like that.
And then we have this one. Now, can either of you guess who this is?
I would describe this. It looks like a peep with a black hat on.
It looks to me like a lemon with a Nazi helmet on. Yes.
So have either of you seen the movie yet or seen the previews for it or anything?
No. I've seen it.
Okay. This is Georgie. After Georgie gets his face blown off by his brother. That's what this is.
Okay.
Now,
I can see that.
Yeah. So these are the things.
Have you considered any counseling for that child?
Oh, he just moves along. He's just as happy as he can be.
So he may really need counseling. So he really likes it. The movie.
He's never seen it, so he doesn't really know.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing.
What?
Okay, it is out on DVD right
it
now.
It is, yes.
Okay. What you need to do, and I'm not judging you as a parent, okay? I'm just giving you some advice.
Okay.
Stay sober once in a while. Pay attention to what, because your child may have seen it 14 times. You wouldn't know because you're laying on the couch drunk. Passed out.
Yeah. He's not seen it. I don't have the DVD.
You don't know what you got in your house because you're laying on the couch drunk all the
but
time.
These are the,
ordered it from Amazon.
These are the reasons that I drink is because I have, you know, these things going on.
Well, you know, it's a chicken and egg.
I'm gonna hang this up.
It is?
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang this up in my office.
That's really cool. The first one's really cool. The second one is more interpretive art, but the abstract kind of thing.
Actually, what's bothering me is that's better than I can draw.
Well, right. Yeah, that's crazy. This actually,
we posted pictures on our Facebook page.
Actually, this one I knew immediately what it was, except for the black part. I hadn't figured that out, but I got this. But yeah, the part where his face is supposed to be.
Well, how does he know the characters?
Because he goes to school with rat bastard children whose parents let them watch it.
I see. You know, when I was in first grade, my dad took me to see Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, it was talky. But
it was a talky.
Yeah. But anyway, I mentioned it to my teacher and she was like shocked. Your father took you to see that movie?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That small town.
Faye Dunaway had nice breast.
Was that what you zoned in on?
Yeah. Let me introduce Brandy.
I spent a lot of time on her today.
Yeah, this is too much Brandy time. But it was Noah time. Noah time is cool.
Yeah, Noah time is cool. And addressing Brandy's drinking problems necessary. Because that's why we couldn't get a show out last week.
What step are you on?
She's got an hour and a half chip right now, Tony.
I had to give it back.
They cut it down. She's on the accelerated program. She's on a remedial program, Timmy.
I had to give that hour and a half chip back. Yeah, I had to give it back. It's not funny. I watch Intervention.
I don't think they do chips anymore. I think they do coins or something now.
Yeah, well, that's a
chip.
They
do Bitcoins now.
Yeah. These Bitcoins. Now, for that, I'd get a drinking problem and go into recovery because, yeah.
Because they're cool.
Well, they're worth a lot of money.
Yeah. I used to go to AA meetings just to meet women. I never drank, but.
Well, I mean, that's low hanging fruit.
Let me introduce.
That's like going to Sex Addicts Anonymous or whatever.
That's actually where I used to go.
I used to hang out at the free clinic a lot.
Yeah, also low hanging fruit.
Let me introduce.
And I've seen
or clean.
Wait a minute.
How about I call you in a week?
Well, I'm telling you, at least they get checked out.
I've seen some of his dates. What do you think?
You call him in a week.
Yeah.
That's when amoxicillin takes effect.
That's right. That's when it's safe. Safety first.
Let me introduce the man who is known as the moral compass of our podcast, Brandy.
He's not.
He's known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
Nope.
A man who has been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
We're living in difficult times, and people look to him as a beacon of leadership.
Nobody does that.
The very honorable, the Reverend, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
No, for Christ's sake.
I'm not good, Timmy.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Do you ever come in just everything's fine?
Yeah, last time he said everything's good.
The weight of the world is on my shoulders, Timmy.
Okay, tell me.
Okay,
tell
me. I got a problem. But this whole thing that they're talking about, every time you get on the news, I don't get to watch the news yet. But now they're talking about almond tweakers.
Almond what?
Teachers. 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 Arming teachers. Tweakers are already armed. Yes.
Not the people on meth?
No.
Okay.
Tweakers are already armed for the most part.
Okay. I didn't think almond tweakers was a good idea.
No. It's like, no. Armin tweeters. Okay. No.
Do you think being a member of our Facebook page should automatically disqualify you to owning a firearm?
I think it should. I think
being a part of this podcast at all should automatically disqualify you.
So I like to give a shout out to Caddy from Twitter. She always is very kind and retweets our podcast. I don't think she's part of our Facebook group that I'm aware of. So
no, she's Caddy. Got high standards in that.
Caddy, join us at History Dweebs, the podcast. All right, let's talk about serial killer Clifford Robert Olson, Brandy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Clifford Robert Olson, three names, Brandy.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
It's all bad. Yeah, I know.
It's considered one of the...
Hold on. Can I interject something here?
Please.
I searched high and low. I was shopping the other day, and I saw a T-shirt, and on the front, it said, nope, and on the back, it said, not today, and I searched everywhere in the store because they only had it in, like, a small...
Oh, fuck.
And I told Renee, I was like, I got to get this T-shirt for Brandy. And we looked all over, but we could not find it.
Well, her staff bought her a nameplate with nope on it.
No, yeah. Jen Wicks bought me that.
Oh, Jen did. Yeah. Okay. That's nice, Jen.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's very nice. Okay, so, I get four words into the story before I was interrupted.
Surprise.
Clifford Robert Olson is considered one of Canada's first recognized serial killers.
Because the other serial killers, nobody recognizes.
Nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, they were all plain looking guys.
I mean, this was in the 80s, so.
White guy, about 5'10", maybe 35.
I didn't recognize him.
Didn't recognize him.
Between 1981 and 1982, Brandy, that's over a year's time.
He was pregnant at Christmas.
Clifford Robert Olson was responsible for the rape, murder, and mutilation of at least 11 young victims. Brandy.
Well, he was hitting a clip about one a month.
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
it's like he had a quota or some shit.
He might have taken 1 month
July,
off.
July, he really went crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. When arrested.
Because he was going on vacation in August.
When arrested in August of 1989. Police felt they had their man, but were unable to locate all the bodies of his victims, providing that would provide closure for the families.
Hmm.
And the reason why, we're trying to stay away from the murder of young people, but the interesting thing about this case is that in a controversial plea deal,
He's giving away the ending.
Olson offered to take the police to the bodies of the of his victims in exchange for $100,000 in cash.
For and fucking what? For his commissary?
To everyone's surprise, the police accepted the offer.
What the fuck? Pete's sake.
You know why, Timmy? I'm going to tell you why. In two words.
Why?
Fucking Canada. Fucking Canada, Timmy.
Well,
that's the kind of shit they do.
That's just you.
If it was Texas, they'd have stripped the skin off that sumbitch till we started talking.
Well, anyway, we'll get into this.
You're thinking,
Gitmo. It was very controversial, as you can imagine.
I can't imagine.
At the time.
It would be controversial today.
Yeah, well, now there's laws, you know, that...
Commissary. He wants to make sure he gets the good cigarettes in commissary.
No, he had a wife and daughter, so he made sure they got the money. But he probably got some Cheetos out of it.
Yeah.
Some sandals.
Anyway, Clifford...
Good shower sandals.
Clifford Robert Olson... Brandy was born in Vancouver on New Year's Day. That's January the 1st.
His mom was pregnant during Christmas.
1940, Brandy. She was pregnant during the holidays. Well, not New Year's. Well, I guess she was pregnant. She had him on New Year's, so I guess she was pregnant New Year's.
Part of it.
He was a New Year's baby. I wonder if they won, like, free diapers or something.
I don't know.
In Vancouver, British Columbia, of course, one of the Colonel's favorite spots in the world.
I love... Is that...
It's in Canada.
Not fucking Canada.
His father was a serviceman in the Canadian Army, Brandy.
Was he a Mountie?
I don't know if he was a Mountie. He was just in the service. Mm. Are you going to thank him for his service?
Thank you for your service.
You don't get to be thanked if you're a Mountie. You just ride around
the damn
house.
Do we thank people in other countries for their... Like,
We do.
Really, you would thank Hermann Göring for his service?
Yeah. Nazi sympathizer?
You're a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah, okay.
And a slush.
Let me explain something to you.
And a drunk.
And a drunk.
Ill-tempered something.
Let me tell you what.
He held back. I just want you to know that. You got to stop that stinking thinking it leads to drinking.
Perfect.
You know, Devil, you're good enough.
Am I smart enough?
And people like you.
I know.
You don't have to imbibe on the devil juice all the time.
Colonel Nathan.
Oh, but I feel like I do.
What is...
Don't overdo it.
I know. I'm trying to... That was a little hyperbolic. But I'm sorry. Hyperbolic means exaggerated, Devil. That was a little over the top. Hyperbolic means, exaggerating grandiosity to make it... Yeah, it's... Well, you can't.
Much like your whole sense of self.
And I feel like sometimes I don't mean to be condescending to you, Devil. I don't mean to be condescending to you, Devil.
That means talking down to you.
Thank you, Timmy.
You're welcome.
People have complained that sometimes I am condescending, and that means talking down to you.
And a complete prick. They complain about that, too.
Well, yeah, I don't mind that, but I don't like to be condescending. That means talking down to you.
Right, right.
Like you don't understand big words.
So are we ready to move on to the story?
Yeah, we can move on.
Great.
Got our shots.
Did you? You feel better?
Clifford, back. Remember him?
The big red dog.
Yeah.
Clifford was a disobedient child, Brandy.
That does not surprise me.
Skipping school almost every day. Not surprisingly, he did poor in school and was held back several times.
So he's a 25-year-old high school graduate.
When he was promoted to third grade, he was so excited he almost cut himself shaving. That was my little joke.
There you go.
No, that was a joke. Clifford was always getting into fights, Colonel, and being beaten up by his classmates.
Because he was a prick.
It's probably, if you get beat up like three times, it's probably a good idea to stop getting into fights with your classmates.
Are you familiar with the Serenity Prayer, Brandy?
Vaguely. I say it every time we record.
Really. Anyway, so he was getting beat up a lot. So that all changed when his father taught him how to fight.
There you go.
And soon Clifford became a neighborhood bully. When he was in the fifth grade, Clifford poured gasoline on his teacher's car and set it on fire.
Yes!
Fifth grade?
His teacher, Emma Northrup, was in the car at the time.
That's no good.
But escaped with only minor injuries. There were no charges filed in that incident.
Hmm.
In high school, Clifford was described as having, by his teachers, one teacher as having dull, normal intelligence and the emotional maturity of a four-year-old child.
Who does that sound like?
He was known to the police and acquaintances as a habitual criminal, starting at the age of 10.
So Big Cliff in the fifth grade is already
this dude would end
getting
up,
a reputation.
Yeah. His crimes included, get ready for this,
okay,
theft, armed robbery, forgery, breaking and entering, auto theft, and escaping custody.
By 10?
Not by 10, but in his lifetime, by the time he was 41, he had been arrested 94 times. He escaped from prison 7 times.
Damn, he's a slippery little bastard. He's Jukey Houdini.
He may, let's see. You get mad. But let's see. By the time he was 41, which is when he got arrested for these murders, he had only spent 4 years of his adult life as a free man. Think about that, Brandy.
You think he was institutionalized?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He would, let's see, he made friends with the police and worked as an informant by the time he was 14 years old. You know what they say.
Snitches get britches.
This enabled him to avoid many other arrests.
I bet.
So he would have been probably well over 100 if he wasn't a snitch. He was became obsessed with sex when he was young, often masturbating 10 to 12 times a day.
Yeah, but who amongst you does not at that age?
Is that a lot?
I mean, seriously, men in general, like, that just seems like a normal thing.
He was arrested
at that age
multiple times for shoplifting pornography. His sexual obsession did not start with porn, though. He was arrested on several sexual offenses. However, he managed to keep these crimes from off of his record for the most part.
Yeah, how did he do that?
I don't know. He snitched.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Clifford's life consisted of prison sentences starting at the age of 17. He was in and out of prison for the next 25 years, I said, until his arrest for murder in 1981. He was a notorious inmate in the 1970s, Branding, known for manipulating the system, writing countless letters to politicians complaining of conditions, and having sex with young inmates against their will. So he was doing a little of the buggering.
What, he was doing some buggering. But, you know, here's the other thing.
He's a bugger. He's a hobo.
Here's the other thing, though.
One day at a time, Brandon.
Like,
he's a hobo prison.
Like, he's not educated, but he doesn't sound like he's stupid either. Like, he's got some, yeah, I mean.
And he was a narcissist, too, because he loved the attention. He was also known,
sounds like somebody we know.
He was also known as a rat in prison.
Well.
Yeah, especially to the little bastard he was buggering. He was known as more than that.
He would readily point the
Big
finger
Daddy.
At fellow inmates if it would be beneficial to him.
He's a tattletale.
Because of this, Clifford Olson was a marked man in prison. He was regularly attacked by other inmates. I wonder if they had a schedule. You know, it's like
wonder if they
every Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regularly attacked by.
I wonder if he got buggered too.
He did.
I bet he did.
And he was stabbed 7 times in 1976 alone.
He like 50 Cent in prison. What he shank.
It was necessary for Clifford to be moved from prison to prison in order to keep him from being murdered.
Does he not figure out, like,
well, you know,
how this, you know, what causes that?
Well,
like,
you know,
quit
got,
tattling.
Yeah, but he got a lot of privileges. You know, he got Cheetos and.
You ever been stabbed, Devil?
No, not really.
You ever been stabbed, Timmy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to get stabbed?
Brandy.
I've been stabbed.
Alcoholism
of course you have.
Is an equal opportunity destroyer.
It is.
Are you reading that off your fucking phone? Are you looking at the Alcoholics Anonymous fucking website?
Just trying to enlighten you, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for you.
Again, I watch Intervention regularly. I got it.
Try to get 90 days. 90 meetings in 90 days. It'd be great.
Well, I have to work.
Just try one meeting.
I'm in a meeting now.
To start, they might have coffee and stuff there.
Yeah.
All right. Back to Clifford.
Can't you go with Lanny? Because I know Lanny goes.
Oh, I know that Lanny there sucking up the coffee.
Lanny don't even drink. He just gets free coffee there and donuts.
Oh, I bet there's a powder kind, too.
Hey, Lanny coming out because he only got the one arm.
White powder. So
they're all glazed. You know they don't get the fancy donuts. They're all glazed.
No, they get the powder kind with the out of the bag, you know, the hostess kind.
Oh.
But they get the off-brand powder kind.
Okay. Enough of this nonsense, Brandy.
No. Yeah. Hey, can I just say one thing to you?
No.
Keep the plug in the jug, devil.
Great.
That's good advice.
Good life advice. Keep the plug in the jug, devil.
Seven missed meetings makes one week. W-E-A-K.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just read the fucking script.
Okay. So as soon as... where was I at?
I don't know.
So they're moving him around from prison to prison, right? During one such move, he met a prisoner named Gary Marceau, Brandy. I think that's French.
Probably.
who was being held for brutally raping a young child, a young girl. Our friend Clifford befriended Marceau and learned of the grisly details of his crimes. So Clifford allowed Marceau to sodomize him and even referred to Marceau as quote-unquote daddy for his request.
God. Nice.
Good Lord, sweet Jesus.
This was an effort. He didn't like this. This was just an effort to win
Marceau. I think he did like it.
He wanted to win Marceau's confidence, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Then, forever the con man, Clifford ratted out Marceau. Ratted on daddy.
Oh.
You know what they say, girdle? Where they tell you to spread your cheeks? Make room for daddy.
Oh, my God.
Am I right?
You got that one. You nailed that one to me.
Thank you.
Well, just
easy, Ed thing. McMahon. What the fuck?
Hey-o!
Yeah.
Hey-o!
Here you go, dumb. I just want to... This is what...
You're right, Timmy. You're right. You're so right.
You know what AA means to me, devil? What it stands for to me? Altered attitudes, devil. Altered attitudes.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Okay.
Let's get off the app.
Brandy, we can only carry the message. We can't carry the drunk.
What?
Just saying.
What?
All right. Back to Clifford, Brandy. So he narks and he rats out Marceau, daddy. He had Marceau draw some photos, draw some pictures what he did to these girls, this young victim. And Clifford got what he wanted. He turned them into the guards, and he was recognized by authority for his assistance in convicting Marceau and even received accommodation.
Nice. He
got a certificate.
Right. That's important.
He got his chip.
Yeah. That's important.
Clifford gained something else, too.
Herpes. Love, syphilis. Anal warts.
From Marceau, he gained a love of child pornography and violence. Although Clifford had been kinky from an early age, it was Marceau who introduced him to child pornography.
He was such a kinky boy.
Clifford spent thousands of hours pursuing his new interests, expounding by hearing of and visualizing Marcel's crime. So he was getting off on this stuff. As soon as he was released from prison in 1978, he joined what's called the Maritime, which I assume is like the
Navy.
Navy or the Merchant Marines. There he became wanted on charges of child pornography, but he was never arrested for these counts. So that's what I'm telling you. He got 94 arrests in his life, and a lot of times he got by with stuff he never got arrested for. The reason was simple. By the time he was located, he was back in jail.
Ah.
This time for rape.
Oh.
The East Coast police, so he was over on East Coast of Canada, they dropped their charges.
Makes sense.
Thinking, you know, he would receive justice now that he was already in prison. They were wrong. The rape charges stemmed from a New Year's Day incident. That was his birthday, by the way.
Oh.
1981 was his big year. He was accused of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl, and he was arrested 7 days later. His lawyer, along with his self-proclaimed jailhouse lawyer, fought until Olson was awarded bail on April the 8th, 1981. Little did they know that they had released a man who had killed a 12-year-old girl in the fall of 1980. So he had already had his first murder. There would be many to follow. When Clifford was released from prison in 1981, at the age of 40, when he got released from 1980, he met and moved in with a woman named Joan Hale, Brandy.
Joan Hale?
H-A-L-E.
Hale.
Hale.
Yes. Jane. Joan Hale. Jane claimed.
Is it Jane or Joan?
Jane. I'm sorry, Joan. Joan.
So Joan claimed. Hale is her name.
Yes.
All right.
Got it. Jane.
Christ.
Joan claimed that she was unaware of Clifford's past and that he was often abusive toward her, which he probably was, the asshole. The couple had a son, Stephen, in April of 1981. In the midst of Clifford's killing spree, and they married 1 month later. And Brandy is going to tell us what happens next.
And before you do, just another public service announcement. Because
God is never late, Brandy.
Now, I will tell you, AA, they did not open the gates of heaven for me, Devil, but they did open up the gates of hell to let me out.
And I would like to just say, Brandy, practice an attitude of gratitude, if you would.
Yes, because you know what? A mind is like a parachute, Devil. If it doesn't open, it's not going to work.
Are you too waste of sperm about done?
I mean, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Continue, Brandy.
Keep coming back.
If you can stay.
Keep coming back, Devil.
If it works. Sober enough.
You work it, girl. You work it. We know you can
practice
do this.
Practice an attitude of gratitude.
Are you done?
More will be revealed.
Are you? Okay.
Here's one really for you. Don't take everything personally.
You take the weather personally, Devil.
Because it's out to get me. All right. Can I stick to the topic now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful things happen one day at a
time. Oh, so Clifford... If you don't remember, we were talking about this guy, Clifford, from Canada. Clifford celebrated his wedding with the rape and murder of 16-year-old Sandra Wolfsteiner.
Hold on. This was on his wedding night?
On his wedding day.
I think it was 4 days after he was married, yeah.
This is believed to be his first murder. 13-year-old Christine Weller disappeared on November 17th, 1980. She was heading to the rundown motel in Surrey, British Columbia, that her family called home. She was a streetwise tomboy who didn't have the benefit of expert parenting. She'd run away before, and her parents disregarded her absence for over a week before the police were contacted.
Those were some concerned parents, yeah, right there.
Stellar.
Ah, she'll be back.
Yeah. When Christine's ravaged body was finally found on Christmas Day, it was revealed that she'd been stabbed 19 times. Good. She was driven to an area of Richmond where she had been murdered by multiple stab wounds to the chest and abdomen.
You know, the weird thing about this guy is that he just started killing all along. You know what I mean? He had his long career. I mean, he had his long career of crime.
But not murder until now.
Yeah.
This poor little girl, she suffered 10 stab wounds to the chest and abdomen and 2 superficial slashes in the neck. She had a double perforation of the right ventricle of the heart and 4 penetrating wounds in the liver.
You said penetrated.
I did. Police, I think that would be the whole point of a stabbing. Police interviewed many persons about the disappearance. Among them was the motel manager from where Christine lived. He was asked about three individuals that lived in the area. Unfortunately, he could supply no information about any of them. On the list of names was Clifford Olson. The rape that Clifford Olson was arrested for, only 1 week after Christina Weller's body was found, made police more suspicious, yet Olson was not questioned about the deceased girl. Clifford's second victim was murdered 8 days after his release from prison in April of 1981. Okay, so...
Yeah, it's right after his son was born.
Right. So was Sandra Wolfsteiner his first?
No.
Or was Christine his first?
He had killed Christine before that.
Okay, so he killed Christine before Sandra.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's this fucked up script. All right, let's see.
Well, the only thing I can really, say about that, Brandy, is expectations are preconceived resentments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have very low expectations of you two. Now Colleen,
let me tell you something about
do you hear me talking about these murdered babies and you two want to keep... You two want to keep interrupting me and I'm talking about these murdered babies. Can you really not? What?
Faith, devil. It is spelled A-C-T-I-O-N. Yes. That is faith, devil.
Got the... There's no I in T. Oh, I don't think that's on there. It's a good one, though.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Colleen Dagnault was 13, and she was coerced into taking a ride in Olson's car. He used what was to become a common ploy with his victims. The killer offered the girl a job, promising a substantial salary.
Yeah, he would hang out at, bus stations, and when these runaway kids would get, he would offer him employment.
Let's see. He then offered her a drink containing some drug that rendered her unable to move effectively. Clifford then drove Colleen to a secluded location where he raped and then murdered her. Next victim was a little different. Darren Johnsrud did not fit the pattern that Clifford Olson was establishing. He was 16 and around the right age, but was male. Serial killers, serial killers generally adhere to a routine or an M.O. Clifford Olson proved that he was not that picky, and no one was safe.
He was all about diversity. This man.
This change also made things more confusing for investigators who didn't yet realize that they were dealing with a serial murderer. They were treating many of these cases as potential runaways. Clifford Olson's sixth victim changed all of that. Simon Partington was only 9 years old when he disappeared on July 2nd, 1981. This left no doubt as to the question of whether Lower Mainland children were being abducted.
I, when I was reading this, I thought of that Trail of Tears. Remember the hitchhikers that were murdered? And that was in British Columbia, too, around the same time. Of course, I guess it's still some things still going on. But at least with those hitchhikers, there were a pattern.
Right.
Teenage girls or early teens or late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, he's not picky. He's opportunistic.
Well, yeah.
So the case generated much publicity, and it was brought to the forefront with numerous media reports. The case became known in the media as the Lower Mainland Missing Children case. So that's catchy. Meanwhile, the police let their man slip through their fingers on two occasions. A week after Darren Johnsrud's disappearance, Clifford Olson was arrested for shoplifting. On July 7th, 5 days after the Partington kidnapping, Olson was charged with indecent assault on a 16-year-old girl but was released. In July of 1981...
Yeah, they had all kind of opportunities to get this guy.
You know what their problem was? They were too sure of themselves, Timmy.
You think so?
And let me just tell you something here, Devil, because this might help you. Humility, because you could use a little humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
So you saying she thinks of herself a lot, Colonel?
Yeah, well, I'm just, people that drink, they tend to think, what do I want? I want a drink. Okay, continue, Devil. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking of myself right now because if I stab you in the eye, then I will probably go to jail.
Isolation is the dark room where we develop our negatives.
It's food for thought.
Oh, my God.
What kind of like the, who's that big tall guy with the Frankenstein look?
Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins. Right. What are the Tony Robbins of podcasting, Timmy? Our next podcast should be just an inspirational podcast because we can fix people. We need people to call in and ask Tim and Chuck. That's what it needs to be. The next podcast, ask Tim and the Colonel because we can fix your life for you.
Can I talk about these dead babies now so we can get through it?
Yes.
Thank you. So in July of 1981, it proved to be a prolific month for the killer. Clifford Olson claimed 6 victims during that time period. Among them was 14-year-old Judy Cosma. Clifford went to a new height of perversion and psychotic behavior when he telephoned the home of the Cosma family landlord, then played a tape of Judy's cries in agony.
Oh, for that's sick. A sick buster, that bastard sick. There. That's pretty sick. And then you're taunting.
Yeah, Clifford.
We do not approve of taunting. We're an anti-taunting podcast.
Yes, yeah. Well, clearly. Taunting. Clifford also called her closest friends, threatening that they would be next. On July 28th, police were beginning to feel sure that they had their man. An officer set up a meeting with Clifford Olson under the guise that he wanted to use him as an informant. By that time, 3 bodies had been discovered. Clifford agreed to work with the police and asked what they would like information on. When he was told that the officer wanted information about the Lower Mainland missing children's case, Clifford seemed eager to help. The officer would later recount that he believed Olson wanted to be caught when he offered to find the locations of 9 victims.
See, he's a narcissist.
He also said that he would need to receive money for his efforts, and this was the last time the two met. Clifford now knew that he was likely under surveillance. So wait a minute, does he think he's fucking Sylvia Brown, could just like sense these people where
he pretty much admitted to it, but they didn't have any evidence to hold him, and they didn't wasn't sure he was telling the truth because he's, you know, he is narcissistic.
So, you know, so what you do is take him into custody on some suspicion. Obviously, or something.
But he was offering to sell him. It basically what he says to the guy, look, you're a reasonable man. I'm a reasonable man. We could come to an agreement on this. You give me money and I will confess to these crimes.
And they initially they don't do it, but then they do.
All right. So now he knows he's being watched. And even though this was true, police were in fact watching Olson's movement. He managed to kill again only 2 days later. Terry Lynn Carson was 15 when she was murdered on July 27th, 1981. The deceased was picked up on 108th Avenue bus stop and driven to a remote area where she was murdered by strangulation. Louise Chartrand, was coincidentally murdered on the same day that the RCMP finally set up a central task force to deal with the case of the Lower Mainland missing children. July had been a busy month for Clifford. He'd driven over 10,000 kilometers in rented cars cruising for his victims. Because of this, he had accrued huge debts with rental car companies. In an effort to raise funds to pay them the money owed, Clifford broke into at least 2 homes in early August. He was finally arrested on August 12, 1981, when officers who had been following his car trailed him to a deserted area. Clifford had 2 young women in the vehicle with him, and when he ordered one of them out of the car and to leave the area, police, who had been listening from bushes nearby, had seen enough. They arrested Clifford Olson for drunk driving and took him to jail.
Well, you know, I hate to say, you know, I hate to project, you know, the topic of our podcast and your current situation, Brandy, but when you're drunk driving, if you're caught drunk driving,
that's bad news.
Well, it's a sign that your drinking is out of control. And, you know, you need to find God. But you don't need to find God. He's not lost, Brandy. He lives within you. You have a higher power.
You do have a higher power.
Colonel and I don't have a higher power. But you have a higher power. And, you know, you've got to accept that you have no control over your drinking. Am I right, Colonel?
Just give up. Give up. Give God.
I like that, Colonel.
You motherfuckers, can you just read the goddamn script? Timmy took all this time to write the script, and it's beautiful. He's Bob Ross with a pen. Now, can you fucking read it already?
Well, number one on the list is Easy Does It, Devil. Easy Does It. Live and Let Live.
I know who's getting ready to be number one on my list.
I hope God grants you serenity.
I do, too.
You both better hope that happens. Can you read the fucking script now?
Well, okay. Sometimes you just have to say, I can't handle it, God. Take over.
You do.
Yes, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. So,
and Brandy, when life gets to be more than you can stand, then kneel.
Yeah, but...
I don't think so.
Not kneel like you was doing in high school all the time.
Or with your economics professor.
To get those C's in economics.
That was college.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, Colonel, tell us what happens next in the case of Clifford Robert Olson.
Pieces of shit.
Now, Clifford's case started out with little physical evidence against him. Police had his address book and Judy Cosmo's address written by her own hand. This, however, was not enough to convict him of multiple homicides.
No.
A break came a few weeks after Clifford's arrest when a witness who had spent some time socializing with the man put him with Judy on the night of her
murder.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
I don't think she approved.
Yeah, not a fan.
Police charged Clifford Olson with her killing. Soon after, some of the bodies began to appear, like Night of the Living Dead. They popped right out of their shallow graves and started wandering. Al Clifford, they called Clifford.
Let's be clear, that didn't happen.
Okay, well, sobriety is a journey and not a destination, Brandy.
Okay, they didn't.
Get off the app.
But bodies started to appear.
And if God seems far away from you, who moved?
Okay, so anyway, bodies are appearing, okay? They start to charge Clifford with these murders. In court, he says, I'm not guilty. The judge broke the bad news to jurors that they would have to be sequestered for the duration of the trial before the attention it was receiving, because of the attention it was receiving in the press. Clifford, forever the legal disturber. Oh, good turn of phrase there, Timmy.
It's really not.
Thank you. Thank you, Colonel. I'm glad you appreciate my prose.
I do. And I try to bring it to life, unlike Otis over here.
You need to practice the attitude of gratitude.
You already told me that. Find a new one.
We're repeating ourselves. So Clifford, forever the legal disturber, he came to court the next day and reversed his pleas. A weepy Clifford, he pled guilty to 10 charges of first-degree murder.
They were only trying to charge him with 5.
The judge said, we only have 3 charges against you, Clifford. Now, this time, the prosecutor introduced an 11th charge. He figured, what the hell, he done.
Well, sure. Let's throw some other shit at him.
Olson initially pled not guilty and then said, fuck it. I'll take that one, too.
Did he kill Kennedy?
He did. After the guilty plea, Clifford Olson received life in prison. Who was that guy that hijacked a plane that they never found?
D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, he confessed to that, too.
Yeah, well.
He received life in prison with a recommendation from the judge that he never be granted parole in his lifetime, and another recommendation from the judge that he suffer repeated daily buggerings.
Sweet.
Yes. Hmm. This, however, was far from the end of the story.
Oh.
For months, there have been reports in the media of a cash for corpses deal with Olson. This was confirmed after the trial. Clifford Olson asked for $100,000 to reveal the location of his victims' bodies and to provide details of the crimes that only the killer would know. Police accepted this deal in order to ensure proof that would convict the killer and locate the bodies.
I would just like to say, Brandy, the anger is just one letter away from danger.
It is. Danger to me.
Yeah.
The public was outraged and cries of blood money echoed across the world, Timmy. Hmm. In actuality, Olson was paid $90,000 for his admissions. Clifford offered to take police to 20 more bodies for another $10,000, but the condition was he had to be out of prison for 3 weeks so he could kill 20 people, and then he would take them to 20 more bodies.
Sure. Now, I mean, that makes you wonder if there's like 20 other bodies out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I mean, and that's why I was thinking of the Trail of Tears. Yeah, because, you know, maybe he was responsible for some of those. If he's saying there's 20 more bodies. I mean, he was honest. He took them to the bodies that he, you know, told him that he paid for.
He held up his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Now, the money he did receive went into a bank account in cash, presumably to his wife. He said that his motivation was to ensure a future for his wife and son, Clifford Jr., who used the money to become...
I don't think his name was Clifford Jr.
Clifford Jr., right? You did the goddamn thing.
No, I get... Yeah, but his name was Clifford Jr. Go ahead.
Well, how the fuck am I going to know that?
Well,
you could have put Bob down there.
You know what? Here's the thing.
You do the research.
I'm pretty sure his wife and his son will be just fine without him. Yeah. With or without $90,000.
Well, Clifford Jr. turned out to be Canada's largest Amway distributor after his...
CJ? Let's just call him CJ.
CJ, yeah.
Amway distributor.
I don't give a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck what his son's name is.
I heard he was selling Avon.
Well, Avon. Mary Kay.
Sure.
He had the pink Cadillac.
Colonel, can you please give Aunt Brandy some advice?
Hold on, devil. Hold on.
I don't want any advice.
Let me call my...
You know what? Can I give you some advice? Put the fucking pertinent information in the goddamn script. How's that?
Listen to this. I can't, devil, but he can. Sweet Lord. Look up, devil. Look up. Look up to the Lord and Savior. Because I can't, but he can.
Why don't you stitch that on a pillow and then shove it up your ass?
I came. I came to.
Keep your sobriety first to make it last, Brandy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, God.
This is why I'm not in AA.
Be part of the solution.
I can't have all this.
Not part of the problem.
I can't have all these fucking motivational posters.
You receive without cost, so now you need to give without charge. His son's name was Stephen, by the way.
Okay, Stephen, okay.
You need to be as enthusiastic about your sobriety as you were about your drinking.
Yeah, oh no, that ain't ever going to happen. You know, it's the road to sobriety, really, Timmy, it's a simple journey for confused people with a complicated disease, Timmy.
Now, Colonel...
Can we get going here?
Remind Brandy.
And just remember this, devil. Bend your knees before you bend that elbow.
Get down on your knees.
Get down on your knees, girl. Look up. Put
your
hands up.
Higher power.
Feel the power. Feel the power.
You have many higher powers, I should say.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Cast a spell to get those devils out of you, girl. So anyway, now we got Stephen Jr. He's the largest Amway guy in Canada.
Really?
No.
Is that in the script?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it makes for a better... thing. If you're going to bring him up, I mean, you got to say something about him.
You're responsible for your effort, not the outcome, Brandy.
That's right, devil.
Was he a Girl Scout leader?
Now, the Olson case was important for inspiring a Canadian law. Now in effect in many countries, there's no cash for corpses. States, criminals should not be able to profit from their crimes. The thought that Clifford Olson may have received more money if only he had claimed more victims is a concept that is abhorrent in a civilized society, Timothy.
It's abhorred.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
Yes, Brandy.
Olson's case also brought police methods into question. The fact that four victims died after he was put under surveillance.
Yeah, I think that's a problem.
Haunts British Columbia law enforcement. After his incarceration, God damn, they didn't have a 24/7 on him. It was like just watching for about 10 minutes every
day. Yeah, hour and a half should be good.
So,
serenity is not freedom from the storm, Brandy, but the peace amid the storm.
And
Jesus.
For any of our listeners out there who may be alcoholics, we're not mocking you. We're trying to help you.
To help Brandy.
Brandy,
because she...
Send us,
Brandy,
if you are now...
admit that you have a problem.
I wish that was my problem.
I'm going to tell you something, devil. I'm going to tell you something. Liquor has not crossed these lips for 24 years. 24 years.
The 70s. Take time to think things through.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit whether you've drank in 20 years. I can't stress that enough, that I don't give a flying Dutchman fuck.
We're just asking you to take a look at yourself. And if you're happy with the way you're... If you can look yourself in
the
mirror...
Yeah, I'm good.
If you
I'm
can look
fucking
at your
great.
If you can destructive stand up, if you can stand lifestyle. Up straight... Oh, by the way, Clifford died in September 2011.
Yeah, he died of
71.
Cancer. Yeah, he died cancer. Of cancer.
Butt
Brandy.
Cancer, actually.
Yeah, I take a good look at myself every morning
Wait
in the
minute.
Mirrors. I'm snorting cocaine off of it. So,
what is your final thoughts on...
You two are assholes. That's my final thought.
In 2011, see, that wasn't that long ago. Your final thoughts on serial killer Clifford Robert Olson.
Well, the Mounties fucked this case six ways to Sunday.
Who apparently did not have a drinking problem.
No, he was sober as a judge.
We're hoping, Brandy, that you can, you know, that you can find sobriety so that we can, you know, get these podcasts out on a regular basis.
Listeners, who we owe it to. And I want to say something to listeners now. You people are going to call in here and you're going to put posts on the page and whatnot about, oh, why are you always teaming up? We're not teaming up against Brandy. We're trying to save
her
eternal soul. We're doing this out of love.
They're asshats. Okay? Don't believe any
She's
fucking thing.
She's turned into a drunken woman with loose morals who's promiscuous and...
This is the only way you've ever known me. Like, what are you talking
when
about?
When wallowing in your self-pity, get off the cross, Brandy. We need the wood.
I don't need the wood.
Ew.
I got wood. I got wood right now.
Ew.
Remember, the results are in God's hands, Brandy. You just turn yourself over to your higher power.
Let go, let God.
Yes. How about this? How about I turn this whole motherfucking thing over to Jesus while I beat the hell out of both of you with these microphone stands? Can we get on with this?
We are not human.
Because we're at work.
We're not human.
I don't
beings
know if you can realize this or not.
Experiences. We're spiritual beings. Me beings having human
spiritual beings, and they will continue until morale improves.
I had a spiritual beating.
All right,
having
Brandy,
one
what's
now.
Your final thoughts on...
you already asked
I told you already.
Chuck, what's your final thoughts on serial killer Clifford Robert Olson?
Well, I'm going to tell you what my final thoughts are. You know what? If they had... Here's what's the problem with Canada is they did away with the death penalty, Timmy.
Okay.
Now, had they had the death penalty, they would have said, no, we're not going to give you $100,000. What we're not going to do is stick three needles in your goddamn skinny little bugger and arm... And you're going to tell us where those bodies are.
So you would have had some kernel justice for
what I would have done. I would Clifford. Have sat him in a chair naked, Timmy.
It starts with the name Clifford, I think. And if your name's Clifford,
you should be a big red dog.
Yeah.
Now you sit him in a chair, right? One of those old hard wooden school chairs that
yes.
you used to have to sit in.
Uh-huh.
And you let his balls dangle right over the edge. And every once in a while,
testicles.
You just come over. And whack him with a paddle, Timmy.
He wants to make sure you know what balls are.
Yeah. You whack him with a paddle. And you say, oh, are you going to tell me where the body is now?
Again, they didn't house him at Gitmo.
They should have.
Well, maybe, but,
if they
would have
taken like an eighth-inch strip from his shoulder down to his wrist of skin off and just peeled it and said, you know what, I got nowhere to be. He would have started telling where the bodies were. You wouldn't
Probably.
Have given, he would have given them cash.
Yeah.
See, but you know what? You're in the liberal, socialized, hippie little... Canada with their health care and free education and paying serial killers.
Fucking health care and free education. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. All this little utopian
PBS.
Type world.
Yeah.
PBS.
Yeah.
They need to do it the United States way. We let people die and pay for their education.
Goddamn right we do.
We let them die and we charge them for the bullet.
Yes, right we do.
Brandy, we would like to thank all of our supporters on Patreon. For their generous donations that keep this keeps us out of prison, basically pays our legal fees, and we are very grateful for all of you who donate. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot,
or just a wee little bit, devil.
Just a tip.
Just the tip, if you
Brandy,
like
give a shout out to all the wonderful
but
people.
When you tip the bottle, devil. You can't just take a little sip because you know you're going
to
bender.
Are you Irish at all?
Yes.
Okay.
That explains a little bit of it, devil.
Dude, I'm really into Irish history right now. I'm like...
Oh, they had a horrible history.
I'm listening to lectures and reading. We're going to have to come up with
it's a fascinating story.
Irish-related podcast soon.
So we would like
I'm
to
the
thank...
this operation.
No, we should have... Connor O'Connell in to do the Irishman.
Oh, Jesus God.
Yeah. He sounds a lot like himself. Brandy.
Yes.
If you can remain.
Can I thank I thank the following people?
As long as you can do it in a very sober manner.
We would like to thank Stephanie Potts, James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savota, Maggie Glover, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Maja, Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, the They Walk Among Us podcast with Ben and Rosanna, Lorna Violet, Mike Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widner, Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown with the Pleasing Terrors podcast.
Downtown Mike Brown.
Ben D.
Yes, Ben. We left Ben off last time, so apologies, Ben.
Big Ben.
Brandy was drunk.
Big Ben, my fellow Bronco. Bang.
Brandy was drunk and left. And yeah. Name.
I didn't read him last time, so yeah. You suck my dick.
He was drunk.
I didn't read
that
him last time.
That's
not ladylike.
I didn't read him last time.
How many listeners you going to alienate, devil?
Jennifer Riker Smith, Sarah
I love
Bloom.
Jennifer Riker Smith.
I know. Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp.
Love Sarah.
The Now American History Podcast.
Love Joe.
Catherine Cott Garage Richardson.
Great middle name, Catherine.
Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois.
Love them
Aaron.
Love
Kimberly
all.
Cameron. Elise.
Kimberly is an attorney at law.
Esquire. Use yes. Esquire after the girl's
never
name.
Never could have made it through law school if she had a drinking problem.
That's right.
History Goes Bump with Diane Student.
Our good friend Diane. Yeah.
Annette Petre, Lise Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith. Jeff and Don Chestnut with Backroads to History and Poems by Jeff.
On today.
Jeff's a good guy.
Karen so Barnes.
Karen Barnes, who is one of our
Karen
favorite
is
people.
Karen. Obviously, Karen's my favorite.
Rachel Flynn. Shirley Strap, and I want to make sure that everybody lets
everybody
Shirley Strap know that we're
we love
thinking
Shirley.
Of her.
We love
if
better,
you're listening,
Shirley.
We love
it. Todd Long. Lydia
Todd
Fisher.
Really
Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Lou, Kristen Malachinsky.
By the way, Cindy Lou is trying to start a dweebs dating pool.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Amanda Christine, Heather Poole, Adam McWaters, The Vanished Podcast.
Marissa,
uh-huh. Canadian True Crime with Christy Lee, Insight with Charlie and Allie, Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader.
I wonder if she's a dominatrix, Colonel.
You ask that every motherfucking
time.
Every time
yeah.
Ron.
I am your daddy, Timmy.
You know what?
Ron, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V.
Did that get you a little tingly devil?
Nope. Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas and Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Michelle John. Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Beth Wallen, Andrew Scamell, let's see, Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Hario, let's see, Ursula.
Hiro. Yeah.
Why is it spelled weird? I don't know.
It's
Hiro.
Yeah.
Ursula.
Hispanic name.
And the Comeback Podcast.
Yes,
we would
you.
Also like to thank Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Actually, and I have to give a little plug. We're going to be interviewing Rudy on the Ransom Reason tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
That sounds stupid.
You won't listen.
No.
Well, you don't.
No,
I do listen
to your podcast, but I won't listen to Rudy. I listen to your podcast because I really like Karen. She's very smart and articulate. And
she's not smarter than me.
Hmm. We also want to wish Lady Beverly a speedy recovery.
And happy birthday to her husband, Graham.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes, his birthday.
You know, Graham got to be. I'm going to tell you this.
He's a lucky man.
He's a lucky son of a bitch I met. First of all, he sings like Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
He actually does this in clubs.
A beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter.
Beautiful wife.
Sully.
He got Sully.
Sully goes to Oxford.
Yeah, Sully. Sully right up there in the category of Rudy with dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know.
Continue, Dottie.
Lady Beverly.
We love you.
I love
Lady
you.
Beverly.
And Miss Dottie Scott.
Yes,
the lady this is all done for. She inspired us to do a podcast.
And if Tim would quit trying to kill her,
yeah,
that'd
so,
be great.
Brandy, final word for you. We've been here an hour. Have you drank anything during that time?
Yes.
She was over there
so
knocking back
shoe polish.
She's
working on her 40-minute chip?
Yeah, she's had shoe polish in that cup to me.
It's okay. One day at a time, Brandy. One day at a time.
Thank you.
But seriously, folks, thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for all your wonderful donations.
Thank you for being active on the page.
Yes.
We really appreciate all the people that interact with us on the page.
Yes. And we would not encourage anyone to send. If you've been sending panties in, please don't do that anymore.
Yes. But, you know, we don't do this often enough. We have some people.
We're trying to see who's listening at the end of the show.
Put a lot of time. If I'm missing anybody, let me know.
Yes.
We got Amber. We got Jen. We got Karen Barnes.
Yes.
I believe Shelley Garrett.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who else? We got Sarah Bloom.
Chris Smith.
As moderator.
Hold on. Yeah, I don't know. Thank everyone who
participates
on the page.
But Amber and those guys have been moderators for a long, long time. They do a great, great job.
They do a great job.
Keeping
and
all
if you're
the
not
political
a part of our
posts
Facebook
and religious
group,
posts off and putting the funny ones on.
Please join our Facebook group. It's History Dweebs, the podcast, and we have a lot of fun. So join us there. Any final words from you, Brandy? Are you still awake?
No.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye,
good
everyone.
Good
day. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.